you can't fix.
If you can't fix what's broken, you'll go insane.
It's Jay and Adam. It's Preview.
It's Preview's Fix It with Adam and Jay.
Hey, Peaches! Oh, welcome to Fix It. We're friends. Don't let friends fix pop culture alone.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Jay. And you're our listener.
Hey there, listeners.
Ho there, listeners.
I'm going to punch into this building and pull you out, and then I'm going to eat you. Listeners, chomp, chomp, chomp.
Yes, that's right.
For power, right? That's what happens
yes.
in the game?
Biannually, Adam.
turns into a kaiju.
Empowered by the blood moon. It grows in size and sure. must be fed. those who are eaten by blood moon Adam will be compensated. Their families will be compensated. And you, for the good of Listeria, for the very good. Do we lose our background?
Yes.
Great.
Keep going. The podcast, us listeners don't care. Only YouTube saw that one. Come on, Quartz.
Welcome to Fix It. I am Jay. That's Adam. You may know us from the wildly successful YouTube reaction channel Previewed.
Didn't get burned down last week.
Yeah, that didn't. wait, the what? Didn't get burned
the
down.
The Acolyte trailer dropped today.
Oh,
when
yes.
we recorded this. So
yes, indeed.
We'll see how people feel.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. But this is our podcast, Fix It, where every week Adam and I take a piece of pop culture that maybe missed the mark. Maybe didn't quite get there. Maybe just couldn't climb to the top of the building. And we fix it. And today we're going to be fixing, since we're getting another kaiju movie this week. In
a team-up kaiju movie.
Godzilla X Kong, whatever that means.
Or Godzilla underscore Kong, perhaps, maybe. Silent Space Kong? Who knows?
Sure. Godzilla Kong, I guess is what we can call it. We will be fixing what year did this come out?
I think it was 2018.
2018.
2016? It was a while ago.
The Rock vehicle, Rampage.
Rampaggio.
And I think as Adam and I have kind of powwowed about this film and how we would like to fix it, I think we might have a first in this podcast history fix in the mix for you guys, but we'll get to that later. Mm-hmm, we'll get to Rampage later. But before we get into talking about that film, we've come to everyone's abject most favoritist segment of the show. We took a poll.
Mm-hmm. It was managed democracy. Everyone had to vote.
Yes, indeed. In our segment, Roll for Convo.
Roll for Convo.
We have 20 topics of conversation provided to us by our producer, Brian, who is the best producer in the business, but also just painfully hanging off the edge.
By pinky at this point.
Yes, indeed. What we are going to talk about in our first segment, I will roll a 20-sided die, and we will determine our topic of conversation in Roll for Convo. It's just fun to say. And I have rolled a 13.
Oh,
lucky 13.
Lucky 13. Why do I feel like this is a question directly for you again?
Because he's my best friend number one. And
yeah,
he knows
maybe,
me really well.
Maybe that's it.
Did you ever think about that?
No.
No.
Question 13. Do you have any nostalgia for a rug in your past? Perhaps a grandma's shag carpet, a play rug at home. Did it influence any purchase of a current rug in your life? Anything goes in Rug Talk.
I have to be honest. This is not directed at me. This is... Now, we had a meeting. You know, we do a lot of production meetings for this show. I know it doesn't look like it or sound like it.
Hey! It looks like we try to have a lot of production meetings.
I'm just ragging you. But we have, I'm just pulling the rug out from underneath you, huh? We had a very specific conversation about how Brian, like, hey, like, let's keep these, let's roll for convo. Let's keep it like, not like media specific. Cause we talk about media the whole time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be media the whole time. He's like, yeah, great. And, this is so specific. Do you have any nostalgia for a rug?
I'm assuming Brian has nostalgia for...
What is this question?
I have a sneaking suspicion Brian really likes a rug. There was Brian, a certain rug.
He's a rugophile.
Some rug saved his life back in the day, and it really influenced him for the rest of his life.
What even? Okay. Well,
I kind of have an answer for this.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm excited. Please.
I don't like rugs.
Really?
I love moving in New York, and like all the apartments here are hardwood floors. Oh man, I love it.
Yeah,
because it's so much easier to keep clean.
Absolutely.
No, there's no stains. We have cats. They throw up. Go ahead. Throw up wherever you need to. Hopefully it's not the furniture. Usually it's not. Great. Doesn't matter. Wipey. All done. It's just so much easier to keep it clean. And because my parents, the whole house was rugged.
Rugged? Mean carpet?
Had carpet.
Yeah.
For most of my childhood.
It's a rugged house. I think it's carpet it's at
carpeted,
that point.
It's carpeted. But they were always complaining about having to vacuum it and clean it. And then there were some stains in it. And then like the mold underneath it. Like there's a lot of upkeep when it comes to carpet and or rugs.
And we grew up in the heyday of a fully carpeted home. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. we really.
But it's like, I don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah. And New York is like, you know, hardwood is kind of is king for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I like that to some degree. And I agree with your point that like, it is easier to clean sort of. I will say this, Kimberly is really into rugs, really into them.
She's a rugged gal.
She's a rugged gal. How dare you? It's my wife. I will say this about hardwood, and I will say this because, like, we were in New York for a long time, and hardwood was everywhere. I will say this about hardwood. It doesn't necessarily it's not conducive all the time to a cohesive aesthetic design of a room. And I will say a rug specifically, and to quote one of my favorite movies of all time, really can tie a room together.
Sure.
So, like, I appreciate a rug. I will say this. Now that we've moved out to Jersey,
mm-hmm.
We have like all of our main floor is hardwood,
mm-hmm.
but the upstairs, like mm-hmm. in the bedrooms, wall to wall carpet, baby.
Ooh,
and
ooh,
I
ooh.
Love it. Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect combo. Like that's the thing is that I think design writ large, drink everybody, has gotten either into all or nothing. But I think if you divide and conquer a little bit,
sure.
you can kind of cover the spread. Because I like going upstairs and like taking my shoes off, you know, and doing that whole sure, diehard yeah. thing and putting yeah. my mm-hmm. putting my toes in the carpet.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? That may be the most like 80s, 90s things about Die Hard. It's like, oh, you just like put your feet in the carpet. It's like, well, they loved carpet.
Mm-hmm.
That and popcorn ceilings, baby.
Oh, popcorn ceilings.
Popcorn ugh. Ceilings.
Yeah, they were like those.
Yeah, for me, I weirdly find like putting like a rug down in a hardwood situation
mm-hmm.
does it kind of it brings me some kind of comfort.
Okay.
Like I've always like in college, like when I was living in a house that had hardwood, like I put a rug down because it like just kind of. It kind of grounded me a little bit.
Okay. Have you been known to cut a rug?
Yeah. Dancing? Absolutely.
See, I'm just coming up with
terms. I know you are. And I'm just, yeah, I know. And I'm coming right back at you with a genuine answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you're trying to derail me and I refuse.
Do you like to be snug as a bug in a rug?
My cuddling skills are
are legendary,
known from all across the land.
You've heard tale of my cuddles.
Yes, indeed. You've heard, you feel echoes of it through the multiverse.
Really?
I cuddle that hard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man.
You're like the Superboy Prime of cuddling.
Yeah, dude. That's the problem is that, I, you know, if too many of me across the multiverse are cuddling at one time, mm-hmm. like, it can be distressing for my partners that are getting cuddled.
Because like they feel like you're cuddling multiple people, not just them.
Yeah,
at the same
they like
time.
Turn
yeah.
to soup like the senator X-Men. Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. Yeah. We've lost... cuddling is we've lost many a good
Cuddle buddy?
But I love a good carpet. Mm-hmm. I love it. I don't mind a wall-to-wall carpet.
Okay.
And I know it's a pain to clean, but it is. Yeah, but dude, here's the thing hardwood can't do. And I know I'm not leaning into the mic right now, but I'm doing it for emphasis. Yo, there is something magical about when you're like really cleaning your house and you get those good vacuum cleaner lines on a carpet. Yeah, man, there's something about it. Don't even act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
It's good, man. It's like when you see like
mowing
good,
the lawn.
Yeah, when you get good lines on the lawn, mowed yeah. lawn. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it feels good. Oof. Yeah, I like carpet. I find it calming.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this has been Roll for Convo, everybody.
Roll for Convo. Wow,
the
Brian.
Abs. Brian, and do not. My criticism here does not mean you need to stop this, because this just lit me up like a Christmas tree at how buck wild of a question that is.
That was buck wild.
What was the tag at the end? There's no...
Anything goes in rug talk.
Anything goes in rug talk. This has been rug talk, everybody. This is the new segment. We are retiring everyone's favorite segment because we took a poll. There's a new favorite segment, and it is rug talk. So check back here.
Next week. Yeah, next man. Week.
Yeah,
we're
spend
talking about shag carpeting.
Yeah, we go on quite a thread here at Rug Talk. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Man, is there anything better than when Aladdin like encourages carpet to go faster? Is there any better vocal inflection to like input like a friend believing in a friend?
Oh.
When they talk about like running at the power of encouragement, I think the best encouraged person is carpet.
What does Aladdin say?
He's like, "Come on, carpet." I don't know, there's just something about it. Anyways, that's been Roll for Convo.
I know. Yip Yip's pretty good.
Yip Yip is indeed pretty good. It just doesn't have the intensity of Come On Carpet. You know I'm right.
I know.
Well, you know
Aang,
I'm right.
Aang doesn't do intensity.
Aang is, you know, he's kind of like, Yip Yip, man, or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, whatever you want to do. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I'm an air nomad. We just kind of go. We kind of, you know.
We chilling, man.
Let's go with the breeze. It's fine.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. We
wherever the wind blows.
We infuse our air with that sweet, sweet herb, and we just kind of just chill out. Whoa. So Rampage, a movie made off of, the classic arcade cabinet. Do you ever play Rampage?
Oh,
in
yeah.
The arcade?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rampage, Rampage 2.
It's
yeah.
a really fun. Mm-hmm. Rampage 64 was really fun.
Oh.
Really fun game, that one. I liked that one a lot. And in which, you play as three different monsters, George, Lizzie, or, Ralph. And they are a giant gorilla, a giant werewolf, or a giant Godzilla monster, respectively. And
you guys run around smashing buildings.
You get points for smashing good, mm-hmm. and you can fight the other players. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's a good old fashioned time.
And they the board.
And they made a movie out of it, which at the time sounded ridiculous.
Which yes, ridiculous. But before we get to talking about it.
I know, before we get into talking about it, we should probably hear more about this movie, Rampage, with our producer, Brian. And if you want to throw in any thoughts you have about rugs in there, Brian, as well.
Don't open it. You know he's going to.
We need a subsection to Rug Talk. I'm just saying, we need to cover the spread when it comes to Rug Talk. If we're going to make this work, we got to do it. Brian, well, tell us about Rampage and rugs when you roll that beautiful bean fun fact footage. And rugs!
Thank you, gentlemen. Producer Brian here, and welcome back to Rug Talk. I only asked this question because we were looking for a rug on Rug USA, not an ad, and I wondered about your thoughts on rugs. Personally, I like a good, well-placed, interesting rug, but a rug-hardwood combo is great. I do like a good carpeted bedroom. It helps keep you warm and cozy. Also, a shag rug feels good between your toes, but is terrible for Legos. Anyway, I digress. Today we're fixing 2018's Rampage, directed by Brad Peyton and starring Dwayne Johnson, Naomi Harris, Malin Ackerman, Jake Lacy, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It had a budget of $144 million and made $428 million at the box office. In the end, it broke even. Here are some fun bean facts. The original Rampage video game came out in 1986 from Midway Games. This is the third collaboration between director Brad Peyton and The Rock. The previous two are Journey 2 and San Andreas. Great film. This movie had been in the works since 2011 after Warner Brothers bought Midway Games in 2009. Weta, who did King Kong and Rise of the Planet of the Apes, also did the special effects for this. And if you care, it has a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 2.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Anyway, back to you, gentlemen, and please enjoy writing your fix.
All right, Brian.
Great
job, Brian. Great.
You ruggy freak. You know you love it.
I knew you had a thing for rugs.
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah. Just getting in the buff and rolling around.
Okay.
Sure.
It's like skinny dipping, but on a rug.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You really feel all the fibers.
You want all the fibers in all the places.
I don't need to go down that rabbit hole anymore than I already did. All right.
Sure. Okay.
So Rampage.
Rampage. For those of you who maybe didn't see this movie or haven't seen it in a very long time, I think it's only proper for us to do a little plop drop.
You said plop drop.
I did.
I really appreciate the gumption in which you gave that.
I went to the paint for that one, Jay.
But you said plop drop.
I did say plop.
It's everyone's favorite segment, plop drop. And rugs.
And rugs.
What's in the plot?
It's the plot drop.
This actually is a good plop drop because I don't think a lot of people have seen this movie.
Probably not. Okay, here we go. We're going to do it real quick because actually this movie's really simple.
It's really simple.
A company, a bioengineering company or whatever, made some type of gas that can just, with CRISPR, which is finally this kind of, there's CRISPR medicine actually in real life kind of coming to the market nowadays. So this is back, you know.
It's actual science.
It's actual science. So like CRISPR, they used to put together a bunch of different animal DNA thing to make creatures just bigger, larger, stronger, more massive.
To modify DNA of living creatures.
Basically, you can turn creatures into kaiju. This is taking place in the space station. It gets out. Rats start, killing all the crew and like, oh no, we gotta get out of here. Ah, there's a big action scene at the beginning. The space station blows up. The astronaut who escapes with the vials, her capsule also blows up, sending 3 samples of this ooze. I mean, it's gas, but
it's the ooze.
It's the ooze. Rocketing to Earth in 3 different locations. A gorilla who can sign in the San Diego Zoo gets exposed to it. A wolf and an alligator also get exposed to it. One, I guess, maybe in Florida and somewhere in the Dakotas. And so the company who wants their materials back, who wants to study the animals so they can get the DNA out of them so they can weaponize it, turns on a radio tower on its giant skyscraper in Chicago, drawing all the animals to Chicago. The Rock and someone who is out to destroy said company because the company is evil chase them down.
I can't remember her name to save my life.
Neither can I.
And I watched this movie very recently. Mm-hmm. She does a fine job. But
everyone does a fine job in this movie. All the human characters chase everything back to Chicago, trying to figure out what's going on, realize this company is behind all the things.
Well, you miss that The Rock is the trainer of the gorilla.
Yes.
And he's the one that can communicate with the gorilla and has a very special relationship mm-hmm. with said gorilla.
Mm-hmm. And eventually they realize that what's going on. They got to turn off the radio tower to stop the animals from, kind of acting a little insane and crazy. And also there's got to be a cure for, especially for George, because he's more sentient, I guess, than the other two, because he's signing and has a relationship.
Yeah.
And they're able to get the cure on the bad woman who's in charge of the company in a red dress, which was always like the extra power or life in the game.
Yeah.
George is able to swallow her, get the cure, comes back to his senses.
Oh, I didn't even catch that reference. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's clever.
Mm-hmm. And then with George's help, The Rock is able to take on the last two kaiju, and he and George tag team and kill them both. And it's awesome.
Well, they don't kill both of them. The gator kills the wolf.
They instigate the gator killing the wolf. And then
that was nuts.
The Rock distracts the gator enough for George to come back and stab him right through his eye sockets.
Yeah.
Because if he has eyes, it's got a weakness. Yeah. And it was all the destruction stuff, they destroy Chicago, much like Transformers did when it just destroyed Chicago. All the destruction stuff is great.
CG is very good.
The CG is very good. And it's a tight 100 minutes.
Yeah.
As soon as the bad guy, the bad monsters are dead, George is like, I'm huge, but I'm by myself. Everything's fine. I'm signing like we're buddies again.
Yeah.
I was like, and the movie's over. Like it just.
And then it just ends.
It just ends.
And there's nothing post-credit either. And I kind of want it.
Nope.
But we did come to the end of Plop Drop, so I feel like you should segment out of it. Give it one more shot.
Okay.
plot drop.
Oh, you didn't say plot.
No, I didn't. I enunciated my T that time.
Yeah. Well, Brian Plosky is our producer, so we can, instead of being footage, we could, that could be plof drop.
It could be a plof drop.
We could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Plof drop. Okay. So we've come to the meat of Rampage.
Yes.
And we've come to kind of an issue that we have run into in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And this has never happened before.
No, it hasn't. There's always been something.
Ever. Because we thought this was kind of be a fun slam dunk.
Well, this is a lesser known film. Not many people have talked about this film.
No, not many. It's kind of a swing.
Mm-hmm.
It's loosely tied to Godzilla, but yeah. Rampage is a good movie,
guys. Rampage is a great film.
It's a good movie.
This movie is tight. There's nothing to fix here.
Like, I respect this movie. Like, I had a great time watching it.
The assignment was make a movie off this arcade game. And then there was a team of like four or five people that were just like, no way, I think we can. And they nailed it.
And they nail it. You get the right amount of action.
Mm-hmm.
You get, like, the bad guys are just, like, it's a little... This movie is, like, a very, very well-made B movie.
Yes, it is.
For our time.
Yes, it is. Yes,
like,
it is.
I was like, these scientists are, like, these like, bad CEOs are kind of hokey. And I'm like, no, they do exactly what they need to do.
Yep, these are what these roles are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, mm-hmm. I'm fine with this being an archetype right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you have, Negan from Walking Dead.
Is he he's not in any actual
non-governmental agency.
Yeah, he's just in some kind of super agency. Yeah.
Yeah, which whatever that means. But like you get The Rock like doing some pretty serious action stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a good amount of monster fights because it had been a long time since I had seen it. And I was like, well, you know, there's some stuff we can fix. We can make the monsters bigger, make more monster fights. And I was like, no, this has the right amount of monster fighting.
Yeah, no, this movie has it nailed across every box and knew exactly what it needed to do. And it did it. The greatest decision of this movie was making George a character.
Yes.
Giving George like, oh yes. No, he's a character who can sign and talk and communicate and joke and laugh and, you know, fist bump.
But not in a way that didn't feel unrealistic.
Just enough. Just enough past probably what really happens.
What is possible.
What's possible. But it was like, nah, man, this is because he was a character.
Well,
and that made it so compelling because you see him at the beginning. He's like, I'm a good gorilla. He's making fun of Jack Quaid in this movie for a hot second. He's making fun of Jack Quaid. He makes him pee his pants. Like he's having a good time. He's the buddy of The Rock. They're fist bumping. It's great.
I believe The Rock's friendship with this gorilla.
Yes.
Like I buy it.
Yes.
And also they did a really, really excellent job of developing The Rock's character just enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone got just enough backstory to be functional in this mm-hmm. thing. Like it's the kind of thing where it's like they didn't over dramatize everything, but they also went there when they needed to.
They did.
Like we got like, hey, you don't really trust people. Like what's the deal with that? And like they showed and told
mm-hmm.
like, which is, I think in a movie like this, you kind of have to do a little bit of both.
Yes, you do.
Because like you only have so much time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, hey, you know, sometimes like exposition, like just being put on our character by someone's line of dialogue can feel a little lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, nah, we got to get to the next scene. Like we got to just like, they will give us more of this later when like we figured out like giving his military background mm-hmm. and like you can't trust, like I don't trust people, but I trust animals and blah, blah, blah. Perfect.
All the poachers, finding George as a little baby, like, yeah, raising him, like it's all.
And from an action perspective, this movie like has structured itself really well. You get the rampage. You mm-hmm. get there. Just
they full on rampage. Rampage.
They knock down the Sears Tower. I know it's not called that anymore, but like they full on knock down buildings, mm-hmm. and that's what you are looking for in a rampage movie.
Yep.
But like it does get paced. I was going into this. I feel like we're gonna need more monster fights. I feel like that's gonna need to be a thing, but I got to the end of it and I was like, no, by the time we, like, the alligator has killed the wolf, and it is time for George and the Rock, you know how the Rock just was like, I got a rocket launcher, I'm gonna fight this huge lizard. Start fighting, start fighting the alligator. The fight is, some of the times I was like, oh, how does this end again? I don't
remember how this ends.
I can't remember. But also, by the time like he kills the alligator, you as an audience member are ready for it to happen, and it is very satisfying. And you go, yeah, we got him. Woo! Like, if anything, my only critique of this movie is that the denouement is like way too fast. Like, the alligator's killed, and then the movie's over.
Sure.
Like,
the alligators, I'll give you this. When everyone starts rampaging and heading towards Chicago, right, the action is trying to prevent that from happening, but realize they can't. Because the second big fight scene is on the airplane. The second big action scene is on the airplane. Yes. And that's a sufficient action scene of them surviving, which is great. The next one is all of Act 3 is just a giant fight in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. But once George gets the cure by swallowing the lady and comes to his senses, then it's George versus the monsters with a little help from the Rock.
Yeah.
And that's maybe another 10 minutes or so. But then we had this whole, did George just die?
Yeah.
And they did that scene very well.
Yeah.
Like it was, I don't know who directed this. I know Brian told us, but just like the timing of George's death to people being sad to looking back and seeing George have kind of an eye open to see what's going on and then realize he's fine. And then the humor of him laughing at the Rock and fist bumping, you know, and then George starts helping people out of a building, movie's over. Like, it's so well timed at the end. They knew exactly what they were doing. They didn't overstay a single second for each emotional beat they wanted to after the alligator was killed.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is great.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, they also structure, like, from a monster movie perspective, they structure like the given circumstances of our monsters reveals well in that. Great. Okay. George, we get all of George's stuff. And then in the downtime of that, they're like, well, there's a wolf. And then it's like, she sends in this squad to fight this wolf. And this wolf absolutely like murders these dudes. Yep. And that sequence is really fun and really cool. And so we're worried about, like, oh, when they set off this radio tower for all of them to go there, we're like, oh, George and this wolf are like working together. That's really scary. Because, and that's also in the game, it's like you can work together. Mm-hmm. Also, you don't have to. But the Act 3, they give us little bits and pieces, but like the Act 3 reveal of Lizzie the alligator is actually really scary and fun. Like, it's fun to watch because it's clearly the most, it's the coolest design and the scariest design.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have it in your head, like, and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess they talked about that alligator thing at some point. And then you're like, oh, no.
We haven't seen that yet.
But then you get, when they turn the radio thing on, you just see the water. So you, as an audience member, are like, oh, yeah, the alligator is going to come. Like, they let you forget.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show up in the Chicago River, and you're like, oh, no.
It's so much bigger than all of them. It's
so scary.
Yeah.
So it's like, is this Citizen Kane? No.
No, God, no.
But like, this is a great afternoon with a couple of brewskis kind of film.
It's just a fun ass movie, man.
Like, I found myself, my biggest complaint was that there were no like post-credit sequence of like where George has ended up, like where George ended up.
What happens afterwards?
Because I was like, that'd be kind of fun to see.
Because
like,
I actually like George.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
He was a big goober.
I want to see him like at the San Diego Zoo with like a much bigger pen and like everyone's coming there to see him. And it's like kind of a cool thing. I don't know. I'm also of the firm opinion that every movie ever could have at the end of sequence where they like write like what happens to the characters after the events of the movie.
Oh, like any movie, Animal House, or
any movie could have that. Yeah. I mean, for me, the one that like pops up the most is like League of Their Own, or like That Thing You Do does that. Oh. Like every movie could have, or The Sandlot, every movie could have that. And I'd be overjoyed every time.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. So
this movie is awesome. It's great. The thing we're trying to fix is the fact that you guys need to watch it.
That's what, yeah, we're fixing today. Hey, go watch Rampage. You're going to have a great time.
It's a great movie.
It's fun.
It's one. Yeah. It's this, I mean, it's kind of a B movie, but it's,
But it's not like there are still a lot of B movies made nowadays.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, for this time in The Rock's career, before he was what he currently is, this is peak.
Well, I would say San Andreas is
didn't that come out?
It's in this time period. Mm-hmm. That's the peak of it. But this is very close. Mm-hmm. San Andreas is a better disaster movie. It's not as fun as this movie.
Ah.
But it's
this movie's just a hell of a lot of fun.
So we're not fixing Rampage.
We're not
today.
Fixing Rampage, everybody.
Go watch Rampage. You know, you have a blast. You know, turn your brain off a little bit.
Have a great time. Yep, have some fun.
There is room for these kind of movies in Hollywood.
Oh, we need more of
We need more of this. Mm-hmm. I need more of it's a Tuesday night.
We're gonna
kill some time.
Good time movie, 100 minutes.
Yeah, let's have a great time.
Maybe 2 hours, but a good time, fun times movie.
In lieu of fixing Rampage, we are going to from whole cloth write a mock-up screenplay outline
of another arcade property.
Arcade, and I think it needs to be from like a similar time frame. This game might be a little bit older. But this is something that Adam and I have talked about writ large, but we've never really fleshed it out.
No,
and
we
I feel
have
like
never
it's
fleshed
time.
It out, but it has in days gone past, in old preview days.
We are going to be fixing or writing a mocking up a rough draft for a movie based on the classic arcade cabinet, Dig Dug.
Shit.
Now, for those of you who have never played Dig Dug, it is a game where you play like a small spaceman miner who has to dig his way through dirt, making little tunnels. And then you are trying to get to treasures and fruits and things like that to get more points. And through digging, and you have a small little harpoon gun that you shoot out that you can inflate the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Bad guy show.
And make them explode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about digging through and getting all
like
the treasure.
Game back in the
you
day.
Can also dig underneath a rock and make a rock fall and smash guys. There's a lot of fun little different strategies. It's one of my favorite games as far as like classic arcade cabinets. So let's write Dig Dug. First and foremost.
Yeah.
Who's playing our little guy?
Our little guy? Well, it's Mark Wahlberg.
So that's right, Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, this has got to be a Mark Wahlberg movie. He's because he and The Rock, there's a reason they've been in a lot of stuff together. They are like this from an action movie perspective. Yeah. I also thought maybe we could go Jason Statham, but I think that changes the tone of the movie.
No, it changes the tone too much.
Like Mark Wahlberg is capable of making, I want this to be a little bit lighthearted. I want it to be
lighthearted, but also a little underdoggy. If Jason Statham is in a situation where there's a bunch of aliens underground, it's like, oh, you guys are all trapped in there with him.
Yeah, but and for better or for worse, Mark Wahlberg, there's a little bit of he's a little plucky.
Yeah, well, he was in the Ted films. Like,
yeah.
He has that affable I'm just a weirdo who doesn't I don't know things.
Yeah,
whereas Jason Statham you look at him, he's like, oh, this guy just knows everything. He's gonna kick everyone's ass.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when there's trouble, I wouldn't be on Jason Statham's side.
Okay. I think we set this in space.
Okay.
Follow me. And I'm not talking space station ships. I'm talking...
another planet?
I say we put this on Mars.
Okay.
And they are mining on Mars.
Okay.
Here's why.
Okay.
I think Mark Wahlberg can... I know a lot of these movies usually end up being like a two or three hander from like the main squad kind of situation.
Two or three hander?
Like he's got, scientist girl, like there's a love interest and a funny guy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I no, this is
solo dolo Dig Dug, I think. Like Mark Wahlberg is like on his own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's basically Die Hard inside of a
And here's where I think we have our given circumstances. I think Mark Wahlberg is a like mining engineer,
sure,
on Mars.
Okay,
I think they have found some kind of ore in underneath the crust of Mars,
mm-hmm,
that is like very valuable for space travel, but it's also very volatile.
Okay,
and I think we've gotten to a situation where his Mars mining base has been evacuated because they say like there's a gas leak, but it comes to turn out that there are Martians and creatures that they have mined their way into.
Yes.
But they don't want anyone to know about it.
Okay.
And so he's got, like, he gets left behind.
Oh, okay.
Where are you at?
I'm at something very similar, but it's...
You don't seem on board with this. I'm going to be frank.
I'm not on board. My setting was here on Earth.
Okay.
And this it's a very similar situation where, like, way back in the day, like, we see, like, an alien ship crash on Earth. And then, kind of like the Transformers.
Okay.
And then jump to, like, modern day. And we are mining in this mountain that we know that we saw this alien ship crash in.
I can dig it.
And they mine their way down to, oh my God, they found this ship down, all the way down the bottom of this
thing. I like this. I don't hate it. Yeah, I think, okay.
So we're already in the mining thing. And so
I can play ball
and
here.
And then, like, they accidentally turn the ship on. And then everyone's like, oh no, the mine starts shaking and stuff. And so everyone's able to get out of the mine except for Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, so it's like a fight. It's like a fight your way out kind of situation.
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, the whole first act is we see, you know, the prologue is we see this alien ship crash, and then we see, you know, maybe a million years ago or some long time ago that's, you know, a mountain has grown over it, or its crater has been sealed over or what have you.
Yeah.
That modern day humans have mined down to.
Okay.
And he's still the same. He's a mining engineer. He's the top of his field. And he, you know, he's part of this project.
If we want to add in a sidekick situation,
mm-hmm.
and if we want to, like, raise the stakes of this side character being here, maybe they this mine in particular has been using, like, a newer technology.
Sure.
Like, this mining has been utilizing newer technology, which can lead into the inflatable weapon we'll get to later.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have got like kind of a funny sidekick coming in, who is a reporter and it wants to know, like, tell people about, like, hey, like, we're like the mining company is trying to do good press about mm-hmm. like this new mining stuff, and like, because like the public's like not too sure about this, but like we wanted to like have a writer come in and like do like a write up in the newspaper about us, you know, because how people still PR read the stuff. Newspaper,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So like we have a PR person who could either be, you could go two different directions, you know, like it could be kind of love interest or not.
Well, we could make this a little bit diehardy in a mine against aliens,
because
I think the first act. Let's do it this way: in the first act. Prologue, ship crashes, you know, flash to, you know, and then we get the dig dug, boop,
yeah.
know, whatever the sound effects are, they think, you know, the little things exploding. Stuff like
that's
that,
Birdo. Right? You just did Birdo.
That's the first thing that came up to me. And then we, you know, Mark Wahlberg goes, Wahlberg goes to the mine. We, you know,
plop drop.
We meet some of the characters. He goes in, we kind of walk through the set and we see things. We see him good at his job.
Yes.
And people find the ship. Everything starts shaking. Everyone's like, oh, get out of here. Mark is able to, like, make sure one person gets past, you know, a thing about to collapse. So he's, you know, a hero. He's safe, but he's trapped behind everything. And that's act one ends with, you know, he's trapped in the mine. Everyone else got out.
Yeah.
And so act two is like, oh, no, everyone thinks like, oh, there was a collapse of the mine. Like, only one person still left. You know, maybe he's got, like, a wife or something in town or, you know, he's visiting or something. So he's trying to get back to his wife. So then all of Act 2 is, or at least the beginning of Act 2 is like, okay, Mark kind of taking the surroundings. I'm trapped underground in this mine. I need to get out. And then he's just trying to figure out how to get out because he wasn't there for when the ship, you know, was activated.
Yeah.
He's going to learn about this, is that something's in the mine here with me.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'll eventually come upon or something will attack him and then he'll, you know, he'll fight it or run away from it. And then eventually, like, air compressor or something, right?
It's like the new mining technique. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a gun that, like, shoots, like, it shoots, they're, like, small, something to, there's gotta be something, like, wildly, like, high-tech and maybe not real.
Okay, just past the limits of actual
it's
science.
It's like, it shoots, this gun, like, shoots these, like, spikes that, like,
expand.
And then, like, it like it basically like embeds itself and then expands in a way that like you can mine a lot faster.
It's safer than like say fracking, and it's safer than TNT. It's more like
it's like mining with the effectiveness of explosions or like an explosive, but not explosive.
Sure.
Like I think maybe that's the so like you can I can imagine the effects of like getting hit with like big spikes that like pop. Make things like explode, which is really, really fun. Okay.
So he's able to utilize, and we see him able to fasten and MacGyver himself a weapon out of the new mining tech in order to survive these creatures that are, you know, in this mine with him. And I think that in a normal situation on Earth, I was like, oh, there's a miner's trapped in a mine. The first thing is like, how do we, you know, they're going to try to get him out.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to work, but he realizes it shouldn't work because if he's able to get out, whatever these things are, and I have to stay in here. So because it's like Die Hard, maybe there's like radio stuff that's still like the radio lines are still able to work because it's wired in, like the wires didn't get break, but you know, so they can still like talk to him. He's got somebody on the outside. Maybe he's in the home office talking about the equipment or whatever. Like, oh, it seems like you're here in the mine. So, you know, is able to navigate him a little bit or something like that. Just like a buddy. He's got to have the Carl Winslow outside talk to.
Yeah. I think act one is like, it's just getting to the point where we realize he's stuck down there and there are aliens down there. I feel like, we've got act two is
initial combat.
Yeah, initial combat. Him rescuing, maybe like the reason he goes back down is that like the writer, got lost down there, and like that's Or do we not want to have?
I thought it was just him by himself in the mine.
Oh, okay. I mean, we talked about it, but you never said yay or nay. So
I thought the writer was the guy on the outside. I'm sorry.
Oh, I mean, we can, but they're not going to have intel about that mine. You know what I'm saying?
The writer?
Yeah. Why would they be the person outside if they don't have any? They don't have any intel about the mine. How are they helping him?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Then scrap them.
Sorry, you've been cut. You got cut in the edit.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I think it comes down to, okay, we keep somebody on the outside. Maybe it's like his foreman or something.
Mm-hmm.
In true Dig Dug fashion, I think what inevitably the act three, what it comes down to is that this ship is in like a cavern, like underneath like a large, like slate shelf.
Ooh.
That they've like dug out,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they've never really, and the reason they never found this ship until now is that like they haven't been doing a lot of digging down there because of this big, like this big rock shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And now with their new technology, they were able to get in there safely without hurting anybody. And that's how they activated the ship. But he's basically got to sneak his way around this space in order to, dislodge a large like part of this slate shelf to smash the ship.
Oh,
just like in the game.
Yes. So let me back up real quick then.
Yeah.
So beginning back to initial interaction with the thing, MacGyver's the weapon, kills the thing. And then I think we just do like some normal, like, okay, how to escape this mine processes. Like, okay, sure. Have to go to location A to do X to get then to location B to do Y.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing that. And of course he interacts, you know, he gets jumped a couple more times.
I would imagine there's a mine cart sequence of some kind.
Sure.
That's just good.
We just do a couple of different things inside of a mine. There's some bad guys that show up, you know, just him trying to get out. And then him, you know, them finally like digging down to him or whatever, when he realizes, oh, wait a second. That's when the information of like, oh, there's an actual danger at the bottom of this thing. Oh, don't save me. Kind of sabotages the rescue effort. So he's like, I got to sacrifice myself again to like nothing, you know, because if all these get out, everyone's dead.
Yeah. And I think maybe like, yeah, we learned that like at the end of act two.
Yes. And then act three is him like realizing.
Because we think maybe he can get out, but then we realize that there's way more aliens than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's way more of a problem.
Mm-hmm. And I love that idea of like, he's got to figure out a way of doing what the game does of him digging out to like get rid of the supports.
to drop a rock.
Yeah.
To crush this thing.
Yeah. And I think, just to add a little like personal flavor to our main character.
Sure.
I think it's like the kind of thing where maybe he's a little bit of like an old fashioned mining person.
Okay.
Like he comes from a long line of miners.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an aspect of hubris of like the mine owners now that we have this new mining technology, mm-hmm. with like the non-explosive explosives, that they aren't like the reason their hubris is what led to them finding this spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you could just tell that there was something wrong with that part of the rock, but like they weren't hearing it. He's like, mining is like, you kind of got to like listen to like the shift of the thing. It's like, there's a sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's art. like he's able to save the day because like, he's got like this old, yeah. He's,
rock sense.
Rock sense. Yeah. What, or whatever that's called, you know, whatever we want to call it.
He's good at rocks.
He's good at rocks. Yeah, man. This fix rocks, man. I like it.
Well, yeah, well, that's what he can do. At the beginning of act, so he sabotages his rescue attempt, realizing that if you get me out, then all these things are going to come mm-hmm. after us. So he already fashioned the weapon, but now he can take the mining equipment and can somehow make it more personalized. So he's only just digging out a hole
for himself. Yeah. That's good.
Which is claustrophobic as all hell.
And I
hell,
feel like that maybe there's an opportunity for more, and what can be fun is, and I think it kind of speaks to like the spirit of Dig Dug, while not be from the actual game, is that like kind of, some of the weapons are kind of impromptu.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a little bit of a tinkerer and he's made some like wild stuff out mm-hmm. of some like auto shovels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
ooh,
I don't know.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. We'll go back and look at the Dig Dug lore and we'll figure out how to, yeah.
Like in true Dig Dug fashion, he kills a lot of these aliens through unique and interesting ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the inflated gun. Like, yeah, it's not just that.
He crushes them, he squishes them, he, you know.
Yeah, tricks them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, digs tunnels in weird ways to kind of trap them in a loop. Like, there's a lot of, like, this the like, that's where I think, like in Rampage when she's wearing the red coat, and I completely, that was lost on me. Mm-hmm. But there's, like, the spirit of a game mm-hmm. and the way that, like, and the way it feels to play a game
mm-hmm.
that you need to include in these sometimes. Yep. Like, the spirit of what it mm-hmm. is.
But I think he's able to crush the big ship, but then on his way out, in true aliens, true, you know, diehard fashion, he's got to take out the one last big...
Yes.
You know, alien monster, mother, you know, brain type of thing or whatever that's trying to get out of the thing with him, and he once again comes up with some ingenious... straight from the game type of mechanic,
yeah,
that he's able to MacGyver at the last second to blow up, crush. And I think all the alien deaths are like, fun gory, like it's all like alien guts exploding. Yeah.
It's like in Helldivers. It's like, it's when you're killing the bugs. It's just, yes. It's viscera.
It's viscera. A lot of viscera, but it's more, it's not like, oh, no, it's like, no, they
Mark Wahlberg is coming out of that hole, like covered in orange nonsense.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Like, he's just like, hey guys, been a long day. Long day in the mines. Dig Dug,
the movie.
I think that worked. Like, and this is the kind of thing where it's like, if you only have like a couple of actors, like you could knock this out pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it'd be fun on a bun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
it's also, you know, shooting in a mine, or you can do it in a volume because it's mostly dark, so that you don't need a ton of light for the creatures. So that helps with the CGI budget.
There you have it.
Yeah. We just need to play a lot of Dig Dug to be able to figure out the mechanics.
I just feel like walking away from watching Rampage, I was just like, more movies should be like this. Like, we should have more, like, I know that, like, people are like, they're just taking, like, known properties. I'm like, that's fine if they're going to do, like, a serviceable job.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a way to make kind of a blockbuster success of a movie while also respecting, like, the niche aspects of what you're going for. I don't know.
I'd have it just be fun. This needs to be fun.
Yeah, I feel like this Dig Dug movie would be really fun.
Yeah, because that would be like, they made a movie out of Dig Dug. That's just stupid. Ah, you're right. It is. But
I think you make the the person that's on the outside on the radio, I think you make them like kind of like a like an intern who doesn't exactly know what they're doing.
Sure, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, or everyone else is dealing with the PR and things. There's like one person left at the desk being like,
Yeah, yeah, the owners of the mine are more worried about the press than they are about actually saving you. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
And here's Mark Wahlberg saving the goddamn world.
But they got to get, like, it's the kind of thing where they got to get out the old maps and, like, the, like, hey, like, there's some other, like, I know there's some other mine chefs here. Like, I remember my dad talking about them. Like, you know, maybe he has a backstory, like, he lost his dad in the mine or something. Sure. And like, that's why, you know, he went back for someone that was actually already out. And
we can, and also just have the overlays of the map, right? We of just like, you know, because like in the game, you're digging your own map. So we have the, you know, layouts, and we could, and then we could be like, it seems like you would be here. I think you're here. And, you know, the camera would, you know, zoom in on the map and we slowly transition into the shot.
If you can get like a, almost, it's almost Wes Anderson-y, like a 2D, like of him, like that, yeah. Dig Dug, man.
Dig Dug.
This could be fun.
It could be.
This could work.
We could probably make that for like maybe 30, 40 million, which is, you know, in today's equivalent of like, you know, a $20 million, $10 million film back in, you know, the 90s.
Yeah.
So they used to crank those out.
Yeah, we could make a $40 million movie, I think.
Easy. Dig Dug.
Dig Dug.
Mark Wahlberg.
Because a lot of it would be in post.
A lot of it would be in post.
Huh.
Okay. There's a lot of fun things you could do with it. We have to play a lot of Dig Dug, though.
We'd have to play a lot of Dig Dug. I have to be. I have played a lot of Dig Dug. I have to be honest. I was a little bit panicked when we were like, "Hey, there's no fixing Rampage. It's actually really great." Remember we talked about Dig Dug? Oh, yeah. I guess we could do that. But it's actually worked out.
I'm telling you, man. That was one of the first things we ever came up with on the channel. I was like, "Oh, there should be a Dig Dug movie."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, man.
I think we did it, man.
I think we did do it. Guys, watch Rampage.
If
you haven't seen it, watch it. It's really good.
It's a really fun movie. What are we recording next week?
What are we recording next week? Okay. So, speaking of movies that are really good that no one really watched, Dredd. Not Judge Dredd.
Dredd,
the one with Carl Urban.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen it?
That's the one with the building, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's really good.
It just needs a little bit of.
It may or may not need a little fixing. We'll see when we watch it again. We'll see if we need to fix that movie. If it doesn't, we're going to pitch another Judge Dredd movie.
Oh, okay. Like a sequel?
Yes, like a sequel to Carl Urban's Judge Dredd.
Oh, I'm into that. Yeah. Yeah. We should.
Because Dredd needs to.
We thought
and
we
Carl
really,
Urban needs to.
We thought we were really going to have to fix this. We should have, in retrospect, we should have watched this knowing that we were going to be writing a sequel to it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I was like, but also I think they kind of nailed it. Yeah. I don't think we need any more.
Especially now that Carl Urban's, you know, in The Boys, like Joe, he could easily step back into the Judge Dredd costume.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd is a really,
it's a great franchise.
It's a good franchise.
It's a lot of fun.
There's a lot you could do with it.
And also the Stallone movies aren't half bad.
It's not the worst. It's no, it's a good 90s film.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Where's Chester? It doesn't matter.
we'll find it.
that's not for the actual podcast.
That's next problem.
Yeah, and how? Well, thank you guys so much for listening. If you're catching us on YouTube, you know what to do. Like, subscribe, hit that bell. Do that YouTube that you do so well. And if you're catching us wherever you catch your audio podcasts, please throw us a review. Maybe 5 stars, please. I love reading them. They make my day. And also, apparently they help with the algorithm, whatever that means in that space.
Sure.
Because I have not seen any dividends on that, but what can you do? But as we end every single one of these episodes, heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
I guess it's the exploding spike that you don't see coming.
This has been Rug Talk. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Okay, here we go. Rampage! Rampaggio!